Revelation, 18th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse number 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she reward you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her." Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for this great privilege we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church of being able to come here on even a Wednesday night, Lord, and hear the Bible preached and honor and glorify you and sing songs of praise and ask prayer requests, knowing that you love us and that you care about us and you're willing to answer our prayers. Once again tonight, Lord, this preacher needs you. And I just ask you, God, to help me as I preach tonight. We believe we know what you want us to do, and we ask you, Lord, to help us to do it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we're going to kind of maybe go off the subject a little bit, although it's not off the subject, but I'm going to take verse number 4 to begin with, and he says, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues." We have spent some time on separation. We spent 1 week on separation and the importance of that and how God wants us to come out from the world. We spent some time on that, and I want to just take some things tonight and try to appeal to all of us at the same time to appeal to our young people. It's not a message just for young people, but I want to appeal to them to get the will of God in their life and don't walk away from it. The tragedies of life's out there ruined because people walk away from the will of God in their life is absolutely astounding. And it's just something that it grieves my heart. I believe it grieves your heart too, but it grieves my heart. And I know it grieves the heart of God when it's unnecessary. That's the thing about it. Satan has, I understand Satan has so much influence, but let me say to you, our God is great, and he is powerful, and he's able to do all things. So I'm saying to you, get the will of God. Be determined to walk with God for the rest of your life. And the reason I'm going to point that out basically is this, because down the road you'll be so glad you did. You'll be so thankful and grateful that you did what you did by just letting God have a hold of your life and walking with him. The Word of God is telling us, and of course he's talking here to Babylon. I believe the message here is to those that are in Babylon during that day, during the tribulation period, and he's calling them to come out of her, because not to take part of her sins, and if they do take part of her sins, they're going to take part of her plagues. So what he's doing is calling for his people. Here we find his people at the end of the tribulation period, some of God's people here in Babylon. We find that he's calling them out. Now, the message is not, of course, just for that time. I believe that's what he's talking about here, but the message has always been down through the years, down through the Word of God, get out of this world. Get out of Babylon. Stay away from it. You're going to get involved with her sins. You'll be also involved with her plagues. And so what we want to do is I want to take you over, first of all, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And I want to start reading here at first chapter. I'm going to start reading, then we'll get into second chapter. But first chapter, 16th verse of the second chapter. He says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me, and the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Now he gives, first of all, he talks about a man by Onesiphorus, who was a very, very special servant of God. We don't know a whole lot about him. We know he's mentioned two other times. Maybe just one other time besides this one in the Bible. But he's not mentioned a lot in the Bible, but he's considered a very wonderful servant. And a lot of wonderful things are said about him. First of all, Paul, in his prayer for him, in other words, was saying he deserves mercy because of what he done, the kind of life he lives. He said, "I'm asking God to give him mercy." We find also how that he said, "Here's what he done for me." He said, "He refreshed me." Paul said, "He refreshed me." The word "refresh" there speaks of cooling off. It means to be relieved. It means a cool, gentle breeze. And Onesiphorus was like that to Paul. He refreshed him, I think probably more than once. He said also of him that he wasn't ashamed of his chains. Paul was in jail at this time when he wrote this this epistle, and he said, "Onesiphorus wasn't ashamed of me. Here I am in jail, and he wasn't ashamed of me." And he said not only that, he came to Rome to see me. Came to Rome. Now that was more than likely quite a distance to come to Rome and to see him. But he did it, and he even said he sought for him diligently. In other words, he didn't quit till he found him. I imagine in a city like that, it was very difficult to find out where Paul was at. But he said he sought for him diligently, and he didn't quit. And then he goes on to tell us that he ministered. In verse 18, he says he ministered to him. I don't know all the things that he did for Paul, but he ministered unto him. And he says, "And then, because he did minister unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Onesiphorus left a wonderful testimony. He said, "Thou knowest very well." In other words, you know what Onesiphorus was, and you know what he did. He left a wonderful testimony. So this man here was a servant of the Lord. And so Paul talks about this, and then he says to Timothy, starting in chapter 2, he says, "Thou therefore." Now you understand when he says "therefore," he's speaking about because of that which I've already said. I've said some things. Timothy was going to have to face some very difficult times in his life. Very difficult. He was going to have all kinds of people stand against him. Now he was saying to him, Paul was saying to Timothy, he says, "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In other words, Timothy, you're going to need to be strong. You're going to need God's grace. There's going to be all kinds of things you're going to go through. You're going to face troubles and heartaches. But Timothy, be strong. Be strong in the grace of God. Amen. And then he said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And he says, Timothy, always keep in mind, and I think that's what Paul did. Paul kept in mind he needed to teach someone to take over when he left. Paul's life was coming to an end. The writing of this book, as far as we know, is the last writings of the Apostle Paul. And at the end of that book, it talks about him being offered up. In other words, and he said, you must, Timothy, remember, you need to teach other people. You need to commit those things which you have learned to other people. You need to learn. You need to help them to learn those things and commit it to them, because we're going to need them then to teach others. And so, once again, I say to you again, we need to get a hold of that principle. We need to teach others, folks. Moms and dads need to teach other moms and dads how to raise good children. Grandparents need to teach other grandparents how to be good grandparents. We need to constantly teach our grandchildren and our children the right way of life. Why? So they will teach theirs. That it will not end with us. And it's very, very important that is accomplished. And that's what he was saying. Teach it. Yes, as a pastor, I stand and I teach. As a Sunday school teacher, I teach. But many of you are involved in teaching too. You're teaching others, and that's such an important ministry. Remember how important it is, because you're teaching others so that one of these days they will teach others. Okay? Keep your eye up here on the preaching. They will teach others. Can't teach you if you're not listening. Be sure and remember that. We need to teach other people. All right? And so that they will teach others. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. And then he said this, and he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He told Timothy, he says, you're going to face some hard, difficult times. And you need to be a good soldier. I have never been a physical soldier in the United States Army. I would have considered it a privilege. I'm sorry I wasn't, but I never was. But I would say this, any soldier that was in the service in this room today would tell me it was not an easy chore to be a good, solid soldier. You had to work hard. And you had to stand against some hard, difficult times. And he is saying to him, just like being a soldier out there in the army, you need to be a good soldier for the Lord. And he said, you're going to endure hardness as a good soldier in the Lord. There's going to be difficult and hard times. But here's what I want you to listen to him, and here's what he says. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Back over in the book of Revelation, he told them to come out of Babylon. Come out of there, she might get controlled by the sins, and because of that, she'll have to suffer the plagues. And what he is saying here to us is this, and I realize he's talking to Timothy here, but there's not a one of us in this room that cannot take this portion of Scripture and say, you know, this applies to me. What he is saying to us is this. He didn't say that you did not have to handle and take care of the affairs of this life. He never said that. Every person that lives in this world has to take care of the affairs of life. There's just certain things you have to do. You have to take care of. It's a part of life. He said, don't get entangled with them. Don't let them control your life. And the word entangled there is like the word which we would use, if a good illustration of the word would be getting tangled up in barbed wire. If you're tangled up in barbed wire, you can't move, you can't function, you can't do the things you should do. And he was again not saying, hey folks, don't even get into the affairs of life. He knew better than that. Every one of us has affairs of life. We have to do certain things. It's part of our life. But don't let it entangle you. Now that's what he's talking about when he talks about, even back there in the book of Revelation, when he's talking about coming out of Babylon. And certainly in that situation, they need to physically come out because he was going to destroy the city. But if you'll read the Scripture, he's never told us that we should not live in this world. We have to live in this world. It's just the way it is. We're in the world, but we should not be of the world. And that's the whole principle of this thing that God teaches us over and over. This is what he's trying to teach us here. He's trying to say to all of us, and let me say to these youngsters here and these young people that are scattered throughout the church here, don't get entangled. Don't get all entangled up with the things of the world. Make sure your spiritual life is first. Make sure that your relationship with Jesus Christ and your love for God and his will for your life comes first. Because the world will absolutely entangle you. Now, I'd like for some of you to do something, and maybe this would be a good time to do it. You know some of the people of this church. I don't think any person in this church would probably come before you and say, you need to look at me, I'm perfect. We all know better than that. But I want you to do something. I want you to take a look at the families of this church and some of the older people of this church, and I want you to take a look at their life. I want you to see where they're at today. And I want you to see how God has blessed. Now, folks, I'm not just talking about materially. I know blessings of God materially, that's wonderful, but I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about they've been blessed by God in their life. Now, let me tell you why they have. Because younger in their life, They made a choice. And they said, we're going to live for God. We're just going to do it. They have not been perfect. They've had problems. They've had their own troubles. But look at their life. Look at them now. And what I want you to do is say, you know what? I don't want to be hooked up and entangled in this world. That all sounds good. That may sound good to some of you young people, because when you're young, I know you don't think like older folk do. I did not either, and I know you don't either. But what I'm saying is, I want you to make the right choice now, so that one of these days you'll be able to, in your life, have the joy and pleasure of living a, just a good life. And you'll avoid many of the problems and the troubles that many people are facing today because they did not make that choice. So again, I'm encouraging you, please, here in 2 Timothy, he says, please, please, don't get entangled with the affairs of this life, of this world. Please don't do that.